I ain't gonna quit your pretty mama while the weather's cold. Around your back door, honey, I don't agree. Just as long as you bring me 2.5 weeks. I've got a girl, she works in the white folks' yard. She brings me meal, I swear she brings me love. She brings me meal, honey, she brings me lard. She brings me everything, honey, that a girl can steal. Lord of Audeville Circus, right of King's Town. They got the stencil looking nice and brown. They didn't know it was against the law for the monkeys to stop at a 5 cent store. Well, just around the corner, just a minute too late, another one standing at the big back gate. I'm simply wild about my good cocaine. I stood my corner, hey, hey.
All right, everybody, it's the Ryan Vinny Show. It is May 28, 2013, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. We got SmackDown to talk about this week. We've got Raw. And I was trying to figure out what we should do as our final big review here tonight. No pay-per-view, obviously, so we can't do that. My buddy Trino, a legitimate Mexican, unlike myself, he gave me a copy of Big Money Hustlers, the Insane Clown Posse's movie they made before Big Money Rustlers. So I thought, man, maybe we should watch that tonight. I promised him we'd watch it tonight, too, but you know how those things go.
Plans change.
Plans change. Got to start a little bit late.
Only an hour.
I was working on some projects, that sort of thing. I was actually making cartoons in honor of Bret Hart Appreciation Night. So, long story short, we decided to look through the Roku, see what was on various Hulu, Netflix, you know. And finally, I hit upon Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant from 1988. The rematch on Saturday night's main event with the evil referee, Dan Hebner. And I was like, this we gotta watch. And so that will be our review. Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. Saturday night's main event, 1988.
Just because I can hear inattentive people around the country being right now. Technically, this is just the main event.
The main event.
Yeah.
It'll always be Saturday night's main event. I don't think it is the main event. I realize that that's probably what they called it at the time. But the DVD they put out is called Saturday night's main event.
Was this on there?
And this is WWE.
Was this on that DVD?
I'm sure it was. I mean, maybe not.
Okay.
Well, let's find out for the anal people out there. You know what they say. I know you don't know what they say.
I don't pay attention to what people say.
Saturday night's main event DVD. Amazon.com, the best Saturday night's main event. Let's see what they got on here. Hulk Hogan versus Bob Orton is on here. Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff. Hulk Hogan versus Terry Funk. Hulk Hogan versus Paul Orndorff. Randy Savage versus Bret Hart.
I was at that match. That was awesome.
Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant. There you go.
Done.
On a DVD called WWE, The Best of Saturday Night's Main Event. So anybody that has a problem with that, I'm going to sick Frankenstein on you.
That's right. Well played.
How about that one? So anyway, that's what we're going to talk about here tonight. A very legendary match. I've got a lot to say about it. Not the match, but everything about it. Which, of course, set up WrestleMania 4 with the tournament. Which actually also set up WrestleMania 5. Anyway, we'll get to that later on. So that's the plan for this evening. And if you'll recall, on Thursday, I cut a promo on Ed, and I pleaded with a solution to this problem, of the problem of Ed. And so our good buddy, Ryan Pike, has offered to be the intermediary. He has put together a very short bullet point list of what needs to be done, And so I'm going to read that right now to everybody. So a big thank you to Ryan Pike for saving everybody's lives here. Here we go. We still have 15 spots open for the Friday night dinner group at the Fremont Hotel. This is for Vegas, July 4th weekend. We're having our annual convention in association with UFC. If you want to go to the Friday night group dinner at the Fremont Hotel over July 4th weekend in Vegas, you must PayPal Senior Hialai $59 to Senior Hialai OT at yahoo.com. I'm going to spell that very quickly. SRJAIALAIOT at yahoo.com. This is also available on the board. The deadline to register for the dinner is May 31st, so you must hurry, as today is May 29th. Dinner will be served at 7 o'clock, so everybody will have plenty of time to head downtown from the Strip. Two, Ed and Sideswipe are organizing a sweet party at the Riviera after the dinner on Friday. Donations are encouraged to offset the cost of renting the room. Any leftovers will be used towards refreshments for the evening. PayPal donations of any amount, whatever you feel like donating, can be sent to jrobar, J-R-O-B-A-R, jrobar, at simpatico.ca, S-Y-M-P-A-T-I-C-O.ca. That is for the sweet party. Also, Freeway is organizing a group to see O on Thursday night. If you are interested in going, check in on the Cirque ticket thread on the board for more information. Des Walker may have UFC tickets and need a home. If you are interested, if you want to go to UFC, email Ed at f4wfan@hotmail.com. He will connect you with Des. That's f4wfan@hotmail.com. Ask for Ed. And if anybody has any questions about anything convention related, your best bet is to check the board or to email Ed at f4wfan@hotmail.com. You're right over there?
I sneezed. Excuse me.
Allergic to Ed?
I might be.
So there you go. Ryan, thank you very much. He's going to be giving us updates on all these shows. Very much appreciate that. Makes everything easier for everybody. All right. With all the business out of the way, my friends, we're going to do SmackDown, and then we're going to do Raw. And then we're going to have a good time talking Saturday night's main event. So, Vinny, ask your usual Tuesday question.
What should we start with?
Let's start with SmackDown.
Okay. This week's episode of SmackDown had some really fun wrestling and some god-awful non-wrestling segments. I was in a sleep-deprived bad mood when I started watching the show. And then the first thing I saw was The Miz. And the second thing I saw was Fandango. This did not help my mood at all.
Not a fan?
Of either of them. Hmm. They went over the bit where Fandango danced as Wade Barrett got beat up. Fandango said that if anyone touched Summer Rae, he would dance all over their face. Miz said that he himself had an ego, but when the bell rang, he was all about business. Because we all know The Miz is the ultimate model of an intense competitor. He called Fandango a bag of Skittles. Miz replied, "Your lecture, it bores me." I was with Fandango on that one. Wade Barrett, did he get another song since Raw? I can't keep track anymore.
I think he may have, believe it or not. Somebody had mentioned that. I can't remember.
He came out to maybe a week old, but it's still a new song. Bantered with Fandango a bit. Brawl broke out, and Fandango and Summer Rae bailed and turned into a match. But it was just one of those segments where a bunch of guys come out and say words, say words that somebody else wrote that these guys can't deliver believably. And we'll talk more about promos when we get to that main event.
So what you're saying is this sucks.
This sucks cock. And balls. Wade Barrett versus The Miz with Fandango on commentary. Fandango once again had his music play and he began to dance on the floor. This led to Miz in the ring looking at Fandango, seething with rage. The Miz. Mike Mizanin. We're supposed to be scared because he's so angry. So Fandango ended up attacking him for the DQ, and they beat up Miz for a while, and Wade hit Fandango with a bull hammer, and that was it. Daniel Bryan was backstage muttering about being the weak link of Team Hell No. Kane tried to give him a pep talk saying, "We lost as a team. I lost on Monday night. You got to get over this." And Bryan flipped out and said, "I'm not the weak link," and he stormed off. Jack Swagger versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan is awesome, everybody. I know, breaking news here in 2013. Just Daniel.
You should just make it a drop.
Yeah, Bryan Danielson's good at wrestling. This match ruled. He made this great, great comeback on Swagger. And the story was that he is hitting all these moves, and Kane's on the floor screaming at him to go for the cover. I'm thinking, okay, so he's going to get greedy and go for a submission hold, and then Swagger or counter and beat him. Got it. So he put Swagger in a submission hold, and Swagger fought and fought and then tapped out.
Yes.
Bryan just beat him clean. The ref and Kane had to pull Bryan off. Zeb Coulter gets the apron and just stares at Bryan like he can't believe this nation is letting the psychopath run free. And then Bryan ran over and put Swagger in the no lock again, and they had to pull him off a second time. I cannot believe that in Vince McMahon's company, a 5'6" man just bullied and manhandled a guy a foot taller than him.
Well, the moral of the story is probably don't get pulled over.
Yeah.
With weed.
Sure.
Don't give your world champion a concussion.
Yeah. He's had some bad days.
Yeah. But actually, no, I'm just throwing those out there. I don't know if that actually had to do with anything. Maybe he was this week's victim, and he'll beat Daniel Bryan on SmackDown this coming Friday.
Also possible.
Probably find out what happens.
Well, he probably did because it's them, but Daniel Bryan's great. That's the storyline here. Daniel Bryan can believably beat up a giant heavyweight amateur wrestler who is actually really big and scary, but Bryan can make it look believable when he beats this man's ass.
Believe it or not, they do not do the rematch. In fact, it's Roman Reigns versus Daniel Bryan.
I bet that's awesome.
That sounds like fun.
That sounds like a great fucking match. What followed was bullshit. Damian Sandow and Matt Stryker were in the ring with a table and a rope. Sandow talked about the troglodytes, Mark Henry and Sheamus.
Oh, Dave.
Oh.
A funny typo.
Oh.
He has called him Roman Reina.
Like R-E-N-A?
Roman Reigns, except replace the S with an A.
I see.
Roman Reina. Maybe that'll be his daughter.
I bet not.
All right.
So Damian starts talking about tug of war and arm wrestling and how they're for stupid people. Tells the tale of the Gordian knot. Claims to have that very knot before him in a rope. Said the Striker was a former teacher, albeit a substitute one. That did make me laugh. He challenged Striker to untie this knot, and Striker, for about 6 seconds, kind of picks it up and tugs it a little bit and says, "Ah, fuck, I can't do it." So Sandow begins to run him down. And after way too long, Sheamus runs out. He wants to try untying the knot, and he starts fiddling with it a bit, and Damian yanks it out of his hands. This all just kept going. Finally, Damian pulled out bolt cutters and cut the knot, and he held the rope over his head like a title belt. Then Sheamus talked more. He went for his kick, and Damian dodged. "I knew it," he said. "I knew you would resort to violence." So Sheamus then picked up poor, innocent Matt Stryker, who was just standing there, and threw him through the air onto Damian. As JBL correctly noted, that was very rude of Sheamus. That segment was long and stupid.
Sheamus is a...
asshole.
He's kind of a miscreant.
His character is an asshole. Chris Jericho and Big Show had a fun match for the 5 minutes it lasted. Show hit a choke slam near the ropes, which sucks. Jericho rolled outside. They brought out there, and Jericho hit a code breaker on the floor and won by countout. And Show came at him with a chair, but Jericho got him and whacked him with a chair and sent him packing. So it's the theme of this show was small men beating up giants. Paul Heyman and Curtis Axel came out for a promo. Curtis Axel has a long way to go as a talker. But he did okay. It was like embarrassingly bad, but not going to make any money this way. Then he wrestled Sin Cara, and more importantly, he had to face the goddamn blue and yellow lights. What's the point?
I don't don't know, but they do this rematch on SmackDown this this week.
All right. I mean, it was one thing. It was stupid anyway, but at least when he was brand new, it was something different to try and get a brand new guy over. Now he's been around. He's below average on the card. He's below the median. He's just a guy who loses a lot. He still gets his own goddamn light show for no reason. It's never mentioned by anyone. And he just lost here again.
I'd like to know.
Maybe he's blinded by the lights.
Vinny, 180s reference per day, please.
That's like a 70s reference, actually.
didn't
even mean to make it, but anyway.
I would like to add that this is not really much of a spoiler, since obviously Curtis Axel beats Sin Cara this week on SmackDown. But I will say that I last night on the Dave Show, I suggested that Curtis Axel start using the Perfect Plex as opposed to his goofy neckbreaker finish that he used on SmackDown this past week. And sure enough, in the rematch with Sin Cara, the finish is the Perfect Plex. Great!
You didn't like that neckbreaker? That was kind of cool.
It was all right, but it just was like, let's say that Curtis Axel is going to face the Big Show. Really? You're going to pull that off? And I know what you're saying. Well, yes. Is he going to pull off the Perfect Plex on yes. the Big Show? No, he's probably not. But I don't know if I can believably suspend my disbelief that he's going to run at the Big Show and kind of do a flip in the air, and Big Show's whole body is going to flip.
Well, his whole body's going to flip because if it doesn't, his head will twist off.
Is that the physics behind this move?
That's the theory of it. It's not a throw. It's I'm going to twist your neck over.
It's the unscrewer?
Yes. That's what a neck breaker is supposed to
do. If they called it the unscrewer, I would be okay with this move.
Well, there's still time.
As it is, he just runs at him and he falls on his ass and then they do a flip. It's goofy. But the unscrewer, I can understand. I like the Perfect Plex better anyway.
Dean Ambrose wrestled Kofi Kingston. It very quickly became a DQ and then a six-man.
Did Mr. Perfect ever wrestle the Giant?
That's a fair question.
Because I wonder what he used for his finish.
Why?
What other finish?
Probably lost.
What other finish did he have besides the Perfect Plex?
Did he have a submission? Oh my God! I typed in Kurt Hennig the Giant, and what comes up is Mr. Perfect, Kurt Hennig, Perfect Plex is the Big Show.
See, I knew it. There you go. He can use that move on anybody.
Well, his dad could.
That's true. Although Curtis Axel is a big dude.
Oh, yeah, he is.
You don't realize it because he doesn't have a big dude physique. He's just kind of got
holy shitballs.
Did he do it?
I just watched Mr. Perfect hit that move on the Giant. Now, granted, Giant was slimmer then than he is now.
I'm going to watch still. It right now. I'm going to do commentary on this.
It's a 19-second clip.
All right, well, this should be easy. All right, Mr. Perfect is, he just kneed the Giant in the head. He's pulling him into the ring, a second knee to the head. He hooks him in a front chancery. He hoists the arm up over. He hooks the leg. The referee gets the hell out of the way. And, oh, my God! That's the biggest Perfect Plex I've ever. Oh, they cut it off before the three count.
That's true. We don't know if he won. The amazing thing, people jump to their feet and touch their fists in the air. The amazing thing is, it's almost delayed. There's a point where he's holding Show up. Show. It's just so weird to not call him the Giant now.
I got to give a big thumbs up to Ryan Pike. He just texted me to remind me to do this on the show.
High five.
This guy is on his game. Ed, this is how you do it. All right, go on.
So anyway, it turned into a six-man with Shield versus Orton and Sheamus and Kingston. And it was really good. It was good, but it was forgettable, as in I've forgotten most of this already. I watched it this afternoon.
And, sounds like this show.
Pretty much, yeah. And eventually, Kofi got a hot tag and ran wild, and he got tripped from the outside, and Ambrose hit him with his headlock driver, and that was it. So some fun matches on the show and some god-awful non-wrestling stuff.
Yeah, the show was fine. I mentioned on Observer Radio that I thought the show was fine. I thought the main event was great, but I said the rest of the show was fine. And boy, does that make people mad sometimes. I don't know what it is.
Is there a passionate SmackDown fan base that does not like you criticizing their show?
Listen, this
is a legitimate question.
Great on WWE, like every time the Shield wrestles. Yeah. I'm the biggest wrestling fan in the entire world. That doesn't make the rest of the show necessarily like a great wrestling show. SmackDown is just a show. And every now and then there's some good wrestling. Even the Daniel Bryan-Jack Swagger match, it was good. It wasn't great. I've seen a lot better. But I still enjoyed the match. It's not like I didn't enjoy it. But, I mean, really, at the end of the day, was there anything on SmackDown? I do recommend everybody watch the main event, but, like, it didn't matter. Was there anything on SmackDown that, that made a difference in the turning of the earth?
Oh, God, no.
No. Whereas sometimes things like that happen on Raw, which we're going to get into right now.
Sorry, just reading some of the comments on this clip of a...
Read some.
Well, they're added this week, of course. It'd be great if Curtis Axel can do the perfect plex. He did on Raw. Someone noted he did it on Raw and that it looked fucking awesome. Ooh, but Cena kicks out of it. Disgusting WWE is now.
It's disgusting.
That's why, because John Cena kicked out of... He kicked out of Curtis Axel's perfect plex. Cena kicks out of the perfect plex. That's a joke, right? Fuck. Followed by a disgrace indeed. There you go. All right, Raw. Had the Memorial Day tribute video. 8 days ago, John Cena went through a electrical wall and onto some kind of wire structure, was carted away in an ambulance.
An electrical wall?
What do you call that thing? The LED light show
it's
thing.
It's just the stage.
Sparks flew.
That's true. They did fly. Yeah.
So, point is, there was this horrible, awful injury. He missed one show, and he's back 8 days later alive and well and totally fine. He tried to plug his match with Ryback, but the crowd was chanting for Bret Hart so loudly he couldn't. He had to stop and say, look, he'll be out later. Please let me do this. They're going to do a three stages of hell match instead. So you're going to see Cena and Ryback wrestle three times. A lumberjack match, a tables match, then an ambulance match. And they've done these for a while. They haven't done too many of these, but they've done enough where I always think, what happens if somebody wins two falls straight? Cena became the first guy to address this. He said, I'm going to kick your ass in two falls and then throw you in the ambulance anyway. Oh. All right. Fair enough. Ryback came out. Crowd was bored. Chanted for Goldberg.
The usual.
Ryback says usual stuff. Usual stuff someone else wrote. Then he left. Just walked away. Then Heyman and Axel came out. And they challenged Cena to a match. And Cena tried to talk Axel into dumping Heyman. And Curtis said, you're dodging the question. Accept my challenge. And Cena said, fine. So they're going to fight. Del Rio versus Big E Langston. AJ tried to undo the turnbuckle pad to distract the ref, but it didn't work. And it left the pad uncovered. And Big E got thrown on the turnbuckle, the exposed turnbuckle, and pinned. And afterwards, AJ screamed at him, and he walked out on her. This seems way, 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 way too early for all this.
Well, apparently they're mad at Mark Henry. So
they are.
Big E is turning babyface instead.
I see. I don't want to know.
They've been talking about turning Big E for a while.
Sure.
He'll be a good babyface.
I don't want to know why they're mad at Mark Henry.
Mad at Mark Henry because he's hurt.
I see.
But he's not hurt enough to need surgery. So therefore he shouldn't be hurt.
Yeah, I regret knowing this. I was happier not knowing that. Again, Brian was backstage muttering about being the weak link, and again, Kane came out to give him a pep talk. Bret Hart interrupted, called them one of the great teams he'd ever seen, but said he needed to get over this, so they'd be torn apart. Brian asked him about being the smaller guy in a tag team, which is kind of funny because Bret's like 6 inches taller than him, but it's true.
It was funny when he said that, and Bret is, in fact, a giant next to Daniel Bryan.
Yes.
He's looking up to him.
Yes.
Bret looks like he's Hulk Hogan in the 80s.
Yes.
You are the smaller man.
Tell me what it's like to wrestle as a mini, you titan.
Although, honest to God, if the Anvil had been there, he'd have been as big as Kane.
Oh, compared to Bryan? And compared to Bret? Sure. Yeah. No, Bret was the smaller man. I'm well aware. It just sounded funny. So, Bret told him the toughness had nothing to do with size. Said Bryan was one of the toughest guys around and went on his merry way. Bryan was moved by this, and Kane was annoyed because it was virtually word for word what he had been saying, and he wanted to know why Bryan had listened to Bret. And Bryan said, that's the legendary Bret Hart. You're just Kane.
That was an awesome line.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan, everybody, is probably turning heel.
Yeah.
pretty soon.
Yeah. As long as he gets to wrestle. As long as I get to watch him wrestle, I don't care. Speaking of wrestlers I enjoy watching, Dean Ambrose and Kofi Kingston. These guys have great chemistry together.
I know what you mean about him having good matches, but at the same time, him and Randy Orton both, it's like, Randy Orton actually, I don't know if he's ever going to turn heel at this point, but the idea is at some point he's going to, but the last 3 weeks, I don't want Randy Orton to turn heel, because he's been an awesome babyface. Just like with Daniel Bryan. He's been the best babyface ever for the last...
Yeah, that's true.
I don't want him to turn right now.
He has been on fire the past week or two. So they're brawling on the apron, and Ambrose drops Kofi face first in the stairs. And about 30 seconds go by, and he rolls Kofi into the ring, and he hits his move and pins him. Looks weird. I don't know if Kofi got hurt or if it's just a unique finish.
It was just that the better man won.
They just really, really want to get over the shot to the stairs.
Well, they really want to get over Dean Ambrose.
So Team Hell No, or excuse me, the Shield came out, and they were about to kill Kofi Moore when Team Hell No ran out to make the save. It led to a tag match. It was obviously Team Hell No versus Rollins and Reigns. They were scrolling some tweets along the bottom of the screen, and I thought it was fans. This may have been actually one of the wrestlers. I didn't go back and check. But one of them was upset about the fact they were doing a Memorial Day in Canada, or excuse me, a Memorial Day show in Canada, and then asked if Canada even had veterans.
I didn't rewind either.
The answer is yes, and it's pretty, really, really rude to question that.
There were some stupid tweets along the bottom of the...
I'm sure there were. There were a lot... I don't know if I wrote it down or not. I forget what segment it was. It may have been the Bray Wyatt stuff, but there was one where it was actually clearly fans. It was excited fans.
Yeah, there were a lot of fans excited for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. A lot of NXT watchers here in Calgary, maybe.
Hey, apparently. Yeah.
So the match ruled. This was, again, as you noted, Daniel Bryan is an awesome fucking babyface, and Seth Rollins is a great heel for Bryan to work with because he can do things like take a German suplex and flip over all the way onto his belly. It was a very long match. It was a very, very good match. Finish was goofy.
Actually, you know what? You're right. NXT, I remember this now. NXT airs on The Score.
Oh.
So everybody in Canada can watch the show every week. That's why they know these guys. Around here, you got to watch it on the old internet.
Well, the flaw in this plan is that tweets can theoretically come from all over the world.
Well, sure, but 6 p.m. Friday is... I'll bet a lot of those tweets came from Canada.
I thought you'd say from Bray Wyatt.
May have.
So the finish was goofy. Kane got a hot tag. It was running wild, and Bryan took out Reigns with a dive. But he just kept fighting, and Kane, for some reason, got upset Bryan wasn't in the corner. I guess he was worried the ref would disqualify him for not being in the corner, like that's ever, ever, ever happened. So Bryan came off the apron, and Reigns caught him and spinebustered him on the floor, basically. And this distracted Kane, and Rollins hit a springboard knee strike and pinned him. This was awesome.
The Shield are great.
They are fucking great, all three of them.
That sounds... I mean, obviously, they're obviously in there with Daniel Bryan, which helps tremendously.
Yeah, he's better is the amazing thing. I was thinking to myself during one of these shows, the Shield are the best thing to hit WWE since blank. I was trying to figure out what blank was. Then it occurred to me, Daniel Bryan. Duh. But yes. My four favorite guys are the Shield and Daniel Bryan right now.
Every time they're on TV, they're awesome.
Yeah. They showed Hunter collapsing last week, said he had suffered a concussion when Brock hit him with a hammer. Then said he had suffered no further damage against Curtis Axel on Raw. Except, you know, when he collapsed.
Way to put over Curtis Axel!
Yeah. Yeah. Couldn't beat up a concussed man. Wade Barrett versus Fandango with The Miz doing something, as the announcers noted.
What a match to follow the Shield.
To vote on whether we wanted to see Miz do commentary, ring announcing, or be the guest referee.
There was no option for not to be involved.
None of the above. Go away. So they picked guest ref, which I guess that's probably the least annoying thing he could do. So it did not go long. He kept screwing things up and getting in both guys' ways, and finally Wade threw him down. So Miz hit him with his move, and Fandango got the pin. This did not make Fandango the Intercontinental Champion, nor did it earn him a title shot. It's just the Intercontinental title is the guy who loses.
Well, I'm sure they're going to have a three-way.
Yeah, still.
So it did earn him a title shot.
He had it anyway. So Fandango was dancing afterwards, and then Miz kicked him in the face.
Don't forget Summer Rae pinning him.
Yeah, Summer Rae fell on top and Miz counted three, so Summer Rae pinned Fandango.
You're unimpressed.
I am. Should I care?
Yeah. He was pinned by a girl.
After Miz hit his move,
yeah,
Miz pinned him. He was just on top of him. I don't know. It seems like there should be a joke there, but I can't think of it right now. Shawn Michaels met with Cena backstage. Wanted to make sure that he was healthy. Thought just like Hunter, he might be rushing back from injury too quickly. Said, you guys never listen to me. Cena said, yeah, just like you. And that shut Shawn up.
Shawn, his publicist, sent out a deal. What's so funny?
I'll let you finish.
Shawn as a publicist?
Well, no, that makes sense.
What made you laugh about this statement?
The first thing I thought was apologizing for some of Shawn's wardrobe choices over the years.
Oh, no, not that bad. He sends it out and he goes, go to Shawn's Facebook right now to see his brand new look. And I was like, did he cut all his hair off at last? Did he, I don't know what else he could have done. But what he did was he grew a little bit of a beard.
Yeah.
That's a new look.
We watched wrestling in 2013. It takes much more than this kind of beard to impress us.
Yeah.
Guys grow this kind of beard every week.
Shawn Michaels had facial hair before.
He did have facial hair before.
Yeah.
Looks well, fine. That's a publicist's job, to get as much attention as possible for anything.
Then he has to go on Facebook and delete the comments from all the angry women that don't like the beard. You think I'm kidding?
No, I believe you. Khan Lee and Tons of Funk beat a three-man band. There was a wacky skit where a cake went in a hornswoggle's face. And after this, they had Khan Lee sing Happy Birthday to Natalya. He began by asking the fans, you ready? Then he sang to her, and it was terrible, but it was 1,000 times better than that one time he sang it to John Cena.
Very sad he's starting to get better at this English gimmick.
Kind of. Because there is a point, I mean, if you actually spoke English, it wouldn't be funny at all. But we've gotten the fact that he is now speaking in very poor grammar English, but you can still understand the words, which is still funny. I'm Stooge. That's funny. You ready? Funny. We had a John Cena visiting the troops Memorial Day video. Chris Jericho hosted the highlight reel with Paul Heyman, who tragically did not come out to the ECW theme. They talked about all these stars Heyman had managed, and it led to eventually Jericho wanted to know where CM Punk was, and Heyman tried to change the subject and dodge the question. And finally, Jericho goaded him into accepting a match on Punk's behalf at the pay-per-view in Chicago. So that was set up here with the whole gimmick being that still Jericho wants to call himself best in the world, and that outrages Punk and Heyman. So it's the same feud they've always had, but that's fine. This is a great segment. Both guys were awesome, and in one 10-minute bit, they made the match important and personal. Kaylin and Natalya versus the Bella Twins. I'm just going to quote exactly word for word what Michael Cole said at the end of this. Natalya got beat in her hometown on her birthday.
Yeah.
Yep. And then the Bellas sang happy birthday to her, complete with loser hand signs.
They did a terrible job singing.
They may have been worse than Kali.
They were.
Yeah.
I'm certain of it. And the announcers knew it because they stole that joke.
Oh, well, there you go.
As I was writing it down, it's infuriated.
I was, If you're going to bury Natalya in her hometown on her birthday like this, They should have just had gone all the way with it and had a Bella put her in the sharpshooter and had Vince come out and call for the fucking bell. Just why not?
Because I've seen that finish too many times.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Bret Hart met with Curtis Axel. He explained. They talked about the Bret's matches with Mr. Perfect. And Bret said, look, you got to lose this Heyman guy. And then Axel made a great point. Where before he teamed up with Heyman, he was nobody. Now he was beating Triple H and had another match with Cena tonight. He said Heyman was great for him and you need to mind your own business.
It was amazing on this show that you have Sean telling John Cena not to face Curtis. Where if you really think about it, why? Why not?
Well, his point was not don't wrestle Curtis. It was don't wrestle anyone because you are hurt.
But in the opening segment, John Cena was not hurt at all.
That's true.
Where was Sean? Apparently not watching that segment. And then Bret tries to convince Curtis to dump Paul, and Curtis astutely notes, Paul's the only guy that's cared about me ever.
Yes.
So shut up.
Yes.
It's like, these baby faces. The old days, like, the baby faces were the smart ones. No more.
No, that's...
Now the heels are making all this, making sense of everything.
That has passed us by.
John Cena is a babyface as well, so.
There was a fantastic hype video for the Wyatt family from NXT.
With haunted dolls.
Haunted dolls, animal masks, rednecks creeping through the woods. It looked exactly like a horror movie trailer. It was awesome. And they kept their NXT theme music. This ruled. This was awesome.
You know what makes me sad? I just thought about this right now. I think Brody Lee is ready for the big time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Rowan is.
That's possible.
This Rowan fella is not ready. And it probably, after the various Briscoe tweets and such, I understand why they're not in WWE. And they probably need to stay off Twitter for their own good.
Forever, yes.
But if the Wyatt family had been Bray Wyatt and he brought in the Briscoes, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Or just Bray Wyatt, the Briscoes, and Brody Lee, three of them.
You just say that.
We need more three-man teams.
Well, yeah.
No, my first was excluding Brody Lee as well.
I see.
Just
Bray and the Briscoes.
Bray and the Briscoes.
I see. Okay.
But Bray, I think, he'll wrestle here and there, but he could mostly be a mouthpiece.
They seem to be bringing managers back.
Yeah,
which I greatly, greatly, greatly endorse.
I think he's good, but you could have him be the mouthpiece. You got what's Brody Lee's name in NXT, for the love of God? Whatever it is.
Luke Harper.
Luke Harper. You have Luke Harper and the Briscoes. And when you need a three-man team, they're the three-man team. And you could also throw Bray Wyatt in and do two sets of tag teams. So
sure.
Oh well.
It's good news, anyway. I am happy, A, they're bringing back managers, and B, they're going out of their way to bring in fresh faces.
Problem is that the Briscoes, I don't think, would be good followers. You know?
They'd be fine.
They're leaders.
It's an interesting theory.
I just see both of them just standing in the background, not saying anything. It's impossible.
They can do it. Randy Orton and Sheamus wrestled the Road Scholars for about 19 hours. The highlight here was Jerry Lawler noting that the last time he was in Canada, he had ruined Pat Patterson's appreciation night by having a heart attack and dying. So he vowed to do his best to not have a heart attack and die tonight so Bret Hart could enjoy his appreciation night.
He succeeded.
He did. He pulled it off. Way to go, Jerry. The match is just... The only star who got any kind of reaction was Cody's mustache. They wrestled, and Sheamus got the win with a bro kick. He pinned Damien. Did a little hype reel for the Three Stages of Hell match for Cena and Ryback, and when they put up the Lumberjack match, there was no less than 50 Lumberjacks on the screen. Just dozens and dozens and dozens of bodies out there.
Why?
I don't know.
Why lumberjacks? All the stipulations to come up with. Lumberjacks?
Let's limit what Cena and Ryback can do in their three-fall match.
Isn't like... So stupid. So the first match, they don't want you getting out of the ring.
No.
The last match is all about getting out of the ring.
Yes.
Stupid.
A third match can be in the ring or out of the ring. It's irrelevant.
Well, no, it's got to be out of the ring. You can't bring the ambulance into the ring.
Second fall, I meant.
That's
right. Tables match. I can go anywhere.
What about if you just put a table in the ambulance and surrounded that with lumberjacks and then just had a match?
Well, that would suck.
Kill all the birds with one stone.
It may be efficient. It would be no good.
I'm all about efficiency.
I would rather have a bad short match than a bad long one.
How about an ambulance? How about a table on top of the ambulance surrounded by the lumberjacks? It's a very limited area in which to do spots. They just kind of hit each other a few times and someone goes through the table.
What if the lumberjacks are driving the ambulance?
Sure.
I don't know.
What if the lumberjacks build the table out of wood?
They're lumberjacks.
Yeah. Watch Daniel Bryan not be involved. The guy who looks the most like a lumberjack.
Yes. John Cena versus Curtis Axel. They started listing all the guys, and I mean all the guys Heyman had ever managed, like Steve Austin and Rick Rude and Bam Bam Bigelow, which I absolutely in no way recall. And also Austin Idol and Tommy Rich, and Lawler immediately went off about how these guys had shaved his head in Memphis in the 1980s. That was awesome. This was a match that if Curtis Axel's father and grandfather could have seen, they would have said, yep, that's a match I would do. It was like, I'm going to hold this armbar for a minute, the babyface will fight off, we'll do one high spot and then go to a different hold, which is fine. He hit the perfect plex, and yes, disappointing that one guy on YouTube, Cena kicked out. And Cena hit one clothesline, and the ambulance went zooming through the backstage area. Very reckless, this ambulance. Came out into the stage. Cena, not caring about the match anymore, left and got countered out.
What an idiot.
Yeah, at least this time when Axel won by count out, they actually said, this man won, he is the winner. As opposed to last week, where they just didn't even show him. So Cena kept opening doors, expecting Ryback to pop out, and then Ryback jumped from behind.
And so who drove the ambulance?
We don't know. Hmm. It's a mystery. Maybe the same guy who drove the white Hummer. And eventually...
Carmen Electra?
What?
Carmen Electra.
Is that who it was?
That was going to be the driver. Carmen Electra.
I know who she is. I don't know if I had ever heard that she was going to be the driver of the white Hummer that ran over somebody. Who did it run over?
Let's see. I think it was actually a black Hummer. It's an urban legend that it was white.
I may be mixing up WCW and O.J. Simpson.
The WCW Hummer mystery.
I hope Scooby-Doo is on the case.
It's the first thing that comes up here. And someone does, in fact, note that didn't the color of the Hummer change storyline?
That's entirely possible. The only thing I remember about this was two fans who had signs on either Nitro or Thunder, but the first one said, I drove the Hummer. And the next one said, no, I drove the Hummer.
Carmen Electra. Hmm. Yeah.
So Cena, they brawled and Ryback ran away, and Ryback celebrated like he'd done something great, and that was it. That was Raw.
I liked the main event. It was fine. Yes, I just said those two things back to back.
It was very old school.
I like...
That's not a bad thing.
I don't mind Curtis Axel in the ring.
No, absolutely not.
His promos are...
Need work. There is room for improvement.
They need work.
But his wrestling is totally fine, and he's been in with A-plus stars the past 2 weeks, and has looked like he fit in.
I should go read my own book about that Hummer. Everyone seems to think it was a white Hummer, but I'm almost positive there was no white Hummer. It was a black Hummer.
WCW Hummer. Nitro 410 2000 Part 9, the great rebooting of WCW. WCW Macho Man Randy Savage traps Kevin Nash. WCW Monday Nitro 410 2000. U.S. Champ Jeff Jarrett reintroduces Vince Russo to WCW, and Eric Bischoff strips all the title belts.
What color was the Hummer? Oh, in my own WrestleCrab book of lists, RD says the Hummer inexplicably changed colors. That would explain that. They must have just forgotten. Although here's a picture of a white Hummer hitting a limo.
I think there's actually quite a few links for WCW Hummer mystery.
Is it possible they used a black Hummer? And then at some point on Raw, like, Steve Austin used a white Hummer and everybody just got confused.
If I remember, they actually had a second Hummer incident on WCW. I
believe you're right.
And they, it may have been an entirely different Hummer and an entirely different color than the first one. There's Rey Mysterio unmasked with horns.
That shouldn't be on the internet. Huh, how about that? A lot of stupidity in WCW. I got a new book coming out, everybody. I think you're well aware. The newly revised and expanded Death of WCW. Working on it as we speak. Actually, that's a lie. I'm doing the show as I speak. But as you're listening to this, I'll probably be working on the book. Artie has done a lot of work so far. It's going to be awesome. Going to have a lot of new information in there that never made the first one. So funny.
Just typed searching for WCW Hummer and went to images on Google and scrolled down a bit, and suddenly there's a bunch of wedding photos.
Well, I'm sure there are plenty of Hummers in WCW
at weddings. Yeah. Or, yeah. There's Buff Bagwell's mugshot.
Yep, there are weddings.
Lex Luger's mugshot.
A seat belt with a Star Wars buckle.
It's badass.
There's Vampiro.
There's Sid chokeslamming Sting at the biker show.
Girl in bikini. Random picture of two hummingbirds.
There's Edge. Don't ask me.
I can understand Hummer hummingbird, right?
Sure. That makes sense.
Stacy Keebler. That makes sense. All right, let's move on.
Kane looking very fat.
Is that Bela Lugosi?
There's just light on that Kane. It's an unfortunate shot. What the fuck were we talking about?
1988.
Oh, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. This was awesome. This was better than 80% of the shit we see these days. Maybe more.
Let's think about this, everybody. Let's think about this. Maybe it's because I was only like, I guess I would have been 13 when the Hulk Hogan, Andre the Giant, Saturday night's main event gimmick occurred. Maybe it's because I was only 13 at the time, and I was 22 when Montreal occurred. 22, right? Yeah. Wow. Anyway, the point is, Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant with Earl Hebner and the evil twin referee, that storyline, to think that it was only 9 years later that Earl screwed Brett, that's like impossible for me to wrap my mind around. It feels like there was a 25-year span between those two things. It's just me.
9 years is a pretty long time.
Is it really that long?
I'll answer that question in 9 years.
9 years ago was 2004. 2004, ECW was already dead. WCW was already dead. TNA was already in business. I mean, really, has a lot changed since 2004?
Well, Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit were alive.
That's true. But, I mean, in general, it's like WWE is still number one. TNA is still number two.
Yeah.
There's still no ECW.
Yeah.
There's still no WCW. There's still a UFC. Strikeforce has come and gone, but it was on Showtime. Not really a big deal. Some people are going to be very upset to hear that, but...
Dave.
You know what I mean? It's like things... Not a lot has changed, really, in the last 10 years. But if you look at, like... 1988 to 1997, that's like 100 years past. Is it just me?
I kind of get your point. The business is a lot more similar. The last 9 years have seen less change than those 9 years.
9 years ago, John Cena was headlining. You know?
Basically.
Triple H was headlining. The Undertaker was headlining.
Yeah.
Mark Henry was doing matches. Kane was doing matches.
Randy Orton was headlining.
You know, but you look at like the difference between 1988 and 1997, when you look at all the things that actually, yeah, there were some, obviously there were some big stories. I don't want to downplay the rise and fall of Strikeforce, Death of Pride or anything like that. But if you look at like the changes from 1988 WWF through the late 80s to the early 90s to the mid 90s period to the boom period, that feels like 100 years. Seems like significantly more time than from 2004 to today. Although I'm sure there are probably 13-year-olds that are like, nope, that seems like a lifetime. Because in fact, it is their lifetime. Maybe that's the point I'm trying to make. It just doesn't seem like, it just seems like a long time ago that this match took place. And granted, it was. It's a very long time ago. 25 years ago. But still, I don't know what I'm trying to say. So go on.
All right. So this match was late in the career and, in fact, the life of Andre the Giant. He was broken down. He needed a back brace to wrestle. And
what were you saying about the crowd before I interrupted you?
Crowd was awesome. Well, let's start from the whole beginning. The first thing we saw, Jesse and Jesse Ventura and Vince McMahon ran down the card and the show and things going on. Then they threw it to a Gene, I think it was Gene Okerman. Gene interviewed Hulk. This may have been somebody else, but it was an interview with the heels. Andre the Giant, Virgil, Ted DiBiase, and whoever was the geek holding the microphone. And DiBiase's promo was, I talk all the time about how people are reciting lines that someone else, clearly someone else has written and these guys don't believe in. This is like a script. It was a very scripted promo because he had as many money-related puns as he could get in there about how it's time to cash in. And he's called Hogan small change and all this stuff. But he was so passionate about it and having, and this is the key, so much fun laughing about all the dastardly deeds he and his crew were about to pull off. And he couldn't wait for it to happen. It was so much better than the bullshit we have to deal with now. And then Andre went and he talked about how he was coming back and he was going to take Hulk Hogan and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And then they all just started cackling and walked away. It was awesome. Then they interviewed Hogan. Hogan talked about the training and the prayers and the vitamins, how he needed the people to fight with him. And there had been no controversy last year at Mania. He had beaten Andre fair and square. He was going to beat Andre fair and square again. And then he was going to take care of DiBiase. And he flexed and he like revved his fist like he was riding an invisible motorcycle and he backed off the screen like a madman. I wept with joy. These were so awesome.
Yeah.
So awesome. And then they had the match and they stalled forever.
Before you get into the match, I got to talk about Vince McMahon. It's pretty amazing to watch this, and Vince is doing commentary. And this is Saturday night's main event, and show is live. Millions and millions of people watching. I think it peaked at like 33 million viewers or some preposterous number. I may be completely out of my mind.
Was this one or the next year the most watched match in history?
I think it was...
the next one had Buster Douglas.
I think it was this one.
Okay,
I can go back and check here in a second. But anyway, the point is, a lot of people were watching this.
It was popular, yes.
So Vince is like sitting there in the booth, and I just sitting there going, man, let's think about this for a second. This guy took over control of the company from his father, and his father had put put the title on Bob Backlund. So Vince, after taking over, had put the title on the Iron Sheik for a month so that he could move it to Hulk Hogan. And Hulk Hogan had been undefeated for 4 years. And so Vince McMahon is sitting there in the booth, and he has come up with this plan. He's going to do this match with Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant. Andre the Giant's going to fall on Hulk. Hulk is going to get his shoulder up at one. The referee's going to count three anyway, and the title reign is over. Hulk Hogan is no longer the champion. And the belt will be presented to Andre, who's going to present it to Ted DiBiase. All of a sudden, the other Hebner's going to come to the ring. They're going to get in a big fight. One Hebner's going to shove the other. Hulk Hogan is going to take the guilty Hebner, and he's going to press slam him and throw him over the top rope on all the heels outside. And this is going to set up a tournament for the title at WrestleMania. And at the time, Ted DiBiase was going to win that title, but you know how things go. So anyway, all of this has been in his head, and this is a very historic thing. This is only his second title change that Vince McMahon has booked. And it's a big deal in the 80s to take that title off Hulk Hogan. And he's sitting there in the booth, and he's just calling the match. And he's watching his idea unfold before his own eyes. Can you imagine doing that? I can't even imagine that. It's just like, I can't even imagine it. What he must have been thinking, how nervous he must have been. Oh my God, Andre can barely move. Oh my God, what's going to happen? What if he falls and kills the Hulk? You know what I mean? He's got to watch all of this live as it's happening. And you have to wonder, like, what was he thinking? What was his vision? Like, did it work out exactly as he expected? Did he like it more or less when Earl Hebner fell on his ass at the end? I don't know. I was just watching, and I was like, must have been something else to be Vince McMahon at that moment, doing this angle. Because nowadays, there's a stupid angle on every show. There's a title change all the time.
Yes.
None of this means anything nowadays.
Correct.
But back then, this was a really big deal. Hulk Hogan was losing the title. So anyway.
My cousin and I had been watching for about 2 years at that point, and we did not know a world where Hulk Hogan was not the world heavyweight champion.
That's right. It didn't exist.
What happens now? Will the sun come up tomorrow? Will we still be able to eat? Will there be food? Is this the rapture?
Yeah.
The answer is no.
The answer is it was not the rapture.
No.
And the sun did come up.
It did, and we ate. Boy, do we eat.
Speaking of the sun, Hogan had a hell of a tan.
Hogan's tan. This is I know Hulk Hogan's in the WWE Hall of Fame. They need to have another induction for Hulk Hogan's tan.
It was something else.
It was great. So DiBiase and Andre and his crew, I guess it's just those two and Virgil, but they come out, and there's no music. There's just a little chorus of boos. There's Conley standing in the apron. Then Hulk Hogan comes out to Real American, and the place is going crazy, and the posing, and the ear cup, and all that stuff. And they stalled forever. And I, by the way, I have not watched this in the, whatever it is, 15, 20 years since it happened, almost 20 years. So I went in with very, very low expectations.
Wasn't bad.
I would rather have watched this match again than most of the stuff we get on Raw SmackDown these days. Not everything.
It was better than WrestleMania 3. That's for sure.
Yep. So, yeah. They stalled forever. And I was thinking to myself, man, the Giant's not going to be able to do anything. This is going to blow. And then once it finally got going...
To be fair, he couldn't really do anything.
He didn't do anything, but he was so good at not doing anything. Most of the match was Hulk punched him, and Andre sort of sold.
He stood there, and he grabbed his face.
He grabbed his face where he'd been hit and said, "Oh, my face." He really didn't even like wobble and fall down or teeter or tease, lose his balance. He just stood there. But Hogan hit him a bunch of times. He had Virgil and DiBiase taking these awesome bumps over the ropes to make the fans happy. Finally, he went up top. Yes, Hulk Hogan went to the top rope, and like Ric Flair, he got slammed off. So Giant squeezed his neck for a while, kicked him some. And then they finally do the big Hulk comeback, and it's just like the first part of the match where he's hitting a million moves and the Giant won't go down. Finally, Hulk goes to the middle rope and hits a clothesline and gets the Giant off his feet. And then he hits the leg drop, but Virgil has the ref, so there's no three count. And so Hogan goes to the ref, and Andre gets up, and he gives Hulk two headbutts from behind, gives him a horrible double arm suplex.
Yeah, he kind of, he didn't throw him over his head, obviously. He just kind of flipped him around to the side a little bit.
And I think the idea was he would fall on top of him, I hope. But he really just fell to the side and then rolled over onto him.
Yeah.
And then they did the finish where he laid on him, and Hulk, actually after the one count, had his shoulder as high in the air as it could possibly go. And the ref still counted two and still counted three. That was it. New world champion. And everyone was stunned. People were like grabbing their heads in shock and horror. They couldn't believe this.
That's right.
Hogan was appalled. How could this happen? The great injustice. Andre was totally calm. He was presented with his title belt, and Gene went to interview him immediately, and he promptly said, "Mr. DiBiase, I sell this belt to you." Put the belt around DiBiase's waist, and all the heels left, and Hulk was beside himself, and he turned around, and there were two refs. It was, of course, the Hebner twins, although we didn't know they were twins then, which seems amazing. Did they only hire one of them for a long time?
I'd have to go back and look.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they were just twin brothers, and one was a pro wrestling referee, and the other just sold shoes or something. So, yeah, the two refs went at it. Hulk was still emotionally distraught. And then finally, one ref punched the other one, sent him flying. Hulk determined that the man who threw the punch must be the heel. Oh, yes. And he also, while kicking his brother, did in fact fall down.
Yes, he did.
Which Andre did, throwing a big boot. So that's the theme of the match. But, yeah, so Hulk determined this man had won the fight, therefore he must be evil.
The heat for this match was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, it was February 5. I've got it right here. 33 million viewers. Friday, actually, this would not have been interesting. Come full circle here in this show. The show was live, and it took place on a Friday night. So it was, in fact, WWE main event. And it couldn't have been Saturday night's main event, because it wasn't on Saturday night. But it is still on the WWE Saturday Night DVD. So, make of that what you will. Anyway, 33 million viewers and a 15.2 rating. The most watched wrestling event of all time. There you go. Market Square Arena in Indianapolis. This is online, obviously. You can go up there and check the video out. But, yeah, that was history. I was just amazed watching it. That was history. I guess Andre the Giant is officially a WWF champion. He's listed in the title history, even though he only had the belt for like 2 seconds. Poor Ted DiBiase, not listed, even though he was supposed to get the title. As I'm sure everybody's aware, he plans change.
Yeah,
everybody, even back then, which is too bad because Ted DiBiase was awesome.
That is very true.
And Virgil,
you know what? He took a great bump in this.
What to say about Virgil?
That's all I'll say. I'm going to be positive.
What to say about poor Virgil?
He's a superstar.
He is a superstar. So Earl Hebner was a Crockett referee, and Dave Hebner was the assigned referee. So I guess they were both refereeing at approximately the same time. Earl was working in the mid 80s prior to all of this going down. So I guess the question, I'm the wrong guy to ask, but I guess the question would have been, how well known was it that there were twin Hebners? I don't know. I don't recall. I guess we'll have to ask Dave on the Observer show tomorrow. So anyway, everybody, check that match out. It's a part of history. It's something else. I think we watched it on Daily Motion. But apparently it's on the WWE
it's everywhere.
Best of Saturday Night's main event DVD as well. So anyway, there you go. Fascinating match. And Andre, as much as he couldn't move, he knew
what to do with what he had.
Which was nothing.
Yeah.
But he was way better than the great Khali doing nothing.
Oh, Jesus Christ, yes.
I will say that. And he had significantly better English than the great Khali.
That is also true.
It's very true. All right, everybody. That appears to be it for today. We're going to wrap it up. Don't forget, we got a lot of good stuff, including an interview with Brian Cage on the front page. Who is Brian Cage, you ask? Well, he was the guy in Gut Check with Jay Bradley a couple of months ago, where everybody thought that he was going to win, but he was cut. Remember this?
Vaguely, yeah.
They both wore the exact same outfits.
Yes.
That's right. But he'd been under WWE developmental. He's working for Dragon Gate USA. He's doing PWG. He did TNA Gut Check, and he had a hell of an interview today. So even if you don't know Jay Bradley or you can't remember anything like that, you should listen to this interview. It's very good. It'll tell you everything you want to know about WWE, including what happens when you have to take your initial drug test and they ask you, can you pass? And what happens if you say no? And why you should say no? Very interesting interview. So check that out on the front page. We've got more coming up over the next couple of days. Lance Storm, who is at Raw and SmackDown this week, is going to be on the show tomorrow, so that should be a fun time. And that's it from here. So check it out, everybody, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Bye.